We are just a weekend away from the college football playoff quarterfinals, and College Football 134 is here today to preview them all. That is Andrew Cayley. I am Douglas Farmer. And Andrew, you do not have to convince me that this should be the best New Year's Eve and New Year's Day of our lives.
Of course it is, because we've got four college football playoff games, which I'm sure will not be blowouts. And, well, maybe they will, but guess what? Either way, that does not make us fringe lunatics, my friend.
Hey, you know what? I'd rather a blowout than, what was that score? 6-3? Yeah, I'd rather a blowout than a 6-3 nail-biter.
Oh, that was tough. That's a tough look. Don't worry. The NFL is here to give you a 6-3.
It was an improvement for corporate football. I believe their last four primetime games had been real close. 100-15, I believe, was their those four combined scores. Yeah, you're right, folks. College football playoff is the lackluster product. Nailed. Good grief. Let's not spend any more time.
Well, maybe Caleb Williams should have stayed another year in college football and developed a little bit more before he jumped to the NFL.
I am going to leave that one where it is, and we will therefore push forward into games that matter, games that have consequence, not exhibitions like the NFL. Before we dive into the biggest storylines in the New Year's, let's rattle off the key podcast verbs. Please, folks, subscribe to College Football 134 on all your podcast platforms. Rate it, review it, like it, adore it, thank it. Verbs. If you are watching this on YouTube, subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel. That is how you make corporate think nice things about us, and that is all we have asked for this Christmas season. We have a full December and January planned, but the only way you'll enjoy all of it is to subscribe to the Cop Podcast feed. Now, Andrew, unlike some shows, we will not tell you today is about the playoff and then forget to discuss it. This weekend's bowl games will be delights, but we know you're going to spend some of the weekend pondering these quarterfinals. So let's get to these quarterfinals. Let's discuss New Year's Eve, Penn State versus Boise State, the Fiesta Bowl. Penn State, a 10.5 or 11-point favorite as of today, Friday afternoon, December 27th. Total, 52.5 or 53, which has ticked up. You and I last talked on Monday. Back then it was 52 or 52.5. I don't know why it's ticked up. It's a very small move, but I'm noting those this time of year because these games are getting more action than anything else all season.
And if you're like me and stuck at the in-laws' place for the latter half of this holiday.
Very fortunate and happy to be there.
Yes, very fortunate and very happy to be here. Sorry, wife, if she's downstairs right now.
I should not be the one giving you these insights.
Hey. No, we're very glad to be here. It's been a wonderful holiday. Can't wait for it to continue. Actually, I can't wait to be back on my couch on the 31st to be watching this football game. Yeah, it's the game that I'm probably most unsure about because I don't really know what Boise State is outside of Ash and Ginty. Like they run the football a lot with Ash and Ginty. They haven't played too many tough opponents. Our best comp is obviously Oregon. He had 25 carries for 192 yards in that football game. But what stuck out to me in that game was that Maddox Madsen was also just 17 for 40 for 148 yards. And that's not so good when it comes to opponent for yards per attempt. And he's going up against what is probably it's an argument to be made that it's the best defense that he's seen all season. I expect Ash and Ginty to get his. He's going to get his. He's a very good running back, and we saw that you can run a little bit on this Penn State defense. That said, I think this is the game where we see that Drew Aller is that guy. I personally have hemmed and hawed back and forth. Yeah, you can point at me all you want. I've hemmed and hawed back and forth. I loved him as a freshman, and he's just hasn't lived up to the hype heading into some of these big games. He finally gets a big win last week, but he didn't really have to do anything in that game because his defense got two pick sixes for him and just kind of let them cruise. But I think this is the game. If there is a defense to do it against, it's Boise State. This is a defense that, despite being pretty solid, they didn't play the toughest schedule. And they're like 45th in success rate on dropbacks, 53rd in EPA per dropback. So I've got a best bet for you right off the bat. It's Drew Aller's passing prop. The over under on it is 224.5 at Bet365. Give me the over here. I think this is, like I said, this is the game where he is the guy that gets it done against that pass defense. And he's gone over this number in half of his last 12 games. Usually when he doesn't go over this game, over this number, it's based purely on game script, like the defense has taken over and they haven't really needed him to do it. But I think he will need to show what he's capable of this matchup against Boise State. And I like this matchup for him.
I want to jump back to one of the first things you said there. This is the game you're most uncertain of. This game with the 11-point spread is the one you're most uncertain of?
In terms of a spread bet, yeah, because I guess we can, circling back, I didn't mention that James Franklin is still the head coach of Penn State. And when it comes to covering a number like that against a team that loves running the football, those numbers can get a little iffy. Obviously, like we said, they came through, they covered that number against SMU in the first round. But once again, that was aided by two defensive touchdowns. And we didn't really get to see what the Penn State offense needed to do because they just didn't have to do it. And so this is the spot. Like I said, I'm unsure of what to do when it comes to the spread because, once again, it's Penn State in a big game. And this is, they're going up against a guy who believes he should have won the Heisman Trophy. He's going to run angry at them. And I came really close to looking at the total in this one, especially after it ticked up. I kind of like being a contrarian in that spot a little bit. But I think this is the Drew Aller game. I'm very happy to make that statement.
You might remember on Monday before Christmas, I took Boise State plus 11. I'm standing by that. And much of my thought process there was endorsing Ashton Jeanke. Penn State's rush defense is good, not great. And against this Boise State running attack, you might need to be great. I'm going to double down on that today and add an Ashton Jeanke over 130.5 rushing yards, neg 114 at FanDuel. We've got to realize, and I know his competition all season was not of this level, but his season average is 192 yards. This is a game where Boise State's going to need to, almost as literal as it gets in sports, ride on the horse that brung them. They need the Bronco that brung them. I should do that better. They need to rely on Ashton Jeanke. I came real, real close to grabbing the neg 200 anytime touchdown at Bet365. But I look at this total, this spread. We're suggesting Boise State might have only three scores. And in that case, they might need to use him as a decoy a couple of times. And I don't want to lay that neg 200 juice on what should be a low-scoring game. One, you're considering an under on. You're not betting it, but you're thinking about all of these things. Still, I want to lean on Ashton Jeanke to run the ball. Oregon ran through Penn State in the Big Ten Championship game 41 times, an average of 4.5 yards per carry. He should be able to do something, maybe not that extreme, but something to that extent.
Yep, it's like I said, it's because of all that stuff, it is the biggest unknown to me. And we're going to see Ashton Jeanke run the football. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think he gets his, but I think it'll be Drew Aller's day when all is said and done.
And then on New Year's Day, we jump to the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, Texas, a 13.5-point favorite against Arizona State. There were 14s on Monday, no longer available as of today, Friday, December 27th. We might toggle back and forth. I would not be surprised. In my estimation, that tick downward is at least in part because of Texas offensive line worries. Right tackle Cam Williams had that knee injury against Clemson. Center Jake Majors had that ugly blindside block, if you remember, on that interception return. But if you believe Steve Sarkisian, both should be good to go in the Peach Bowl. And in that respect, I want to acknowledge the extent and nature of these playoffs is underappreciated. We're going to get some fatigue, some oversaturation in coverage when we get to the semifinals and the championship game. But having 10 or 11 days between each round makes it so a knee tweak or a blindside block do not necessarily rule you out from the next round. It is something to keep in mind when you see injuries, but also something to keep in mind with this Texas team. If those two linemen are back, they should be set. But if they're out, Steve Sarkisian is just glossing over reality. Texas's title odds are going to take a huge hit. As of today, the best number I can find is plus 320. if they're down one or two offensive linemen, massive storyline there. In this game, they should still survive. My attention would jump to an under because the Sun Devils defensive line should get better push. And Sarkisian should then shorten the game to lessen variance. But moving forward, if those offensive linemen are beat up, in Ohio State or a Notre Dame or a Georgia or a Penn State defensive line, good luck.
Yeah. Luckily, that's not this matchup. And we saw those backups come in against Clemson. And like, this is not an SMU team, or this is not a even a middle of the pack kind of SEC team. These are blue chip backups coming in for Texas right now. And they had no trouble moving the ball still after those injuries against Clemson in that first round matchup. That said, I kind of like your thought about the under here, and I'm just going to jump right into it. And I'm going to take the under 26.5 in the first half in this one. I really thought the line was going to jump the other way and fight you and go with Arizona State plus 14.5. But I do think that they can keep
you. How I know. Dare you?
Of course. I think they can keep this game competitive for two reasons. One is their balance on offense. And two, they don't turn over the football. Now, you can run on Texas a little bit. We've noticed that after my blunder last week. We think you still can't pass on them, even though Kate Klubnik did cash that bet last week. And we got those two passing touchdowns. But the actual thing you can do on Texas, as at least according to what our buddy Parker's numbers say, 58th in defensive success rate against the rush. And Arizona State has this guy named Cam Scataboo, who is pretty darn good. And I think he's obviously going to be the focus of the Texas defense here, right? They're going to do what they can to try to take him away. But that kind of gives me some hope that Sam Leavitt can be effective, at least at times in this game. I don't expect him to like throw the ball all over yard on Texas in this one, but I expect him to make some throws when he needs to. I really think that Arizona State is going to focus on running that football, using Cam Scataboo early, and set up Sam Leavitt later in drives later in the game. So like the under first half in this one for those reasons. And on top of that, I'm taking Sam Leavitt to go for over 1.5 passing touchdowns at plus 172 over at Caesars. He's thrown a lot of touchdown passes this year, 24, and he's got multiple touchdowns in, I believe it's seven of his last nine games overall, including in the Big 12 championship against Iowa State. Obviously, Iowa State is not Texas when it comes to defense, but it's not a terrible defense that they just kind of blew out of the water in that game. I think the game plan will be don't turn over the ball, extend drives, attack when you can. I do think Texas is the better team. I do think they get the win overall in this game, but I think the situation and the game plan is there for Arizona State to be successful in this game, at least in terms of keeping it competitive.
First of all, Andrew, you owe Brent Venables a Christmas present. Oklahoma just scored to potentially tie the Armed Forces Bowl, and Oklahoma went for two, did not convert, therefore saving your under 43.5.
I was sorry if I was a little distracted, because I have been switching back and forth to that. I was like, oh my God, there's 30 seconds left in this game, and I am sweating out this under. Yes, thank you, Brent Venables. Very much appreciated. Moving on to your criticisms of my bets, I'm sure that you have.
Well, I mean, presumably Oklahoma's going to onside kick with 6 seconds left. This could go badly on you, but I have faith. My thought there was I was not anticipating you to have those two bets so somewhat tied together of start the game slow, lean on Cam Scataboo, open up Texas. I'm not advising this, but I real quick pulled up FanDuel. You can combine those two bets at better than 7-1.
There you go.
Just a thought if somebody wants to get creative. I am still on Texas Neg 14 from Monday. I do not mind it ticking down to 13.5. That was obviously possible. I do think it's mostly just offensive line hesitancy. But also two touchdowns in a quarterfinal game is a huge spread. I know people want to criticize Arizona State for getting this bye. Tough break, folks. Arizona State's had 3 weeks, and they probably did not spend a whole lot of time prepping on Clemson. They probably were prepping Texas right out of the gate. So negative 14 is a big number, but I'm going to stick with that bet. We should now move forward. I'm going to just straight up tell you, I have kept some receipts of those loudmouths who during the first round were like, ah, just tell me who the national championship is. The college football playoff is terrible. Just make it a one-team playoff. I am keeping receipts because I look forward as the Rose Bowl ends for them to go, this is amazing. This is great football because their memories are shorter than goldfish memories. Ohio State, a 2.5-point favorite against Oregon in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day for Eastern. The total has ticked up. It was 54.5 on Monday. It is now, as of Friday, December 27th, 55 or 55.5. Not a big move, but 55 is somewhat a key number in these conversations. 49 being touchdowns plus two field goals. I'm looking at this, and Ohio State, that number has not moved. It opened up early on at 1.5, but it has moved to 2.5, and it has stuck there. Somebody like, you probably thought it was going to come back toward Oregon. Nope. The world believes Ohio State is better than Oregon, as I have been saying to you the entire existence of College Football 134.
I was holding out some hope that we'd see it, but obviously I think that Oregon would just get hammered at that key number and probably not create a good situation for books in that sense. So let's just go for it. This is what we've been setting up for all season long. Give me Oregon on the money line at plus 110. You can get that over at BetMGM. That is the prevailing money line number, I believe, right now out there. I was really impressed. I was really, really impressed with what Ohio State did in their first round game. They got out of their own way and they put the football in the hands of their best players. Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Ibuka, they let them do their thing and it was super effective. Now, will they be able to be that effective against Oregon? I'm not so sure. I think they will be a little effective because they had good games in that game in Eugene all the way back in October. Was it October? It was like early October. October 12th. Anyways, they were effective in that game as well. We've been loving a lot of these like Big Ten SEC unders, but this is one where I might be leaning the other way too. I think this is might be prime for a bit of a shootout here. I think we're going to see some really, really excellent football, but my confidence in this money line bet comes down to I'd much rather have Dan Lanning in this spot. And I'd much rather have Dylan Gabriel over Will Howard at quarterback. I'll give you. You can counter me in a second here on that. Dylan Gabriel is by far the better college quarterback. Will Howard can be effective at times, and if he shows out and he plays a really good football game, sure, Ohio State is going to have a very, very good chance to win this game because I think they have the better skill position players. I think they have the better defensive line. But when it comes down to a tight situation, give me Dan Lanning, give me Dylan Gabriel to make that big play when it matters most. And yeah, that's what it's for me. Give me the Ducks. Quack, quack, quack.
I will give you Dan Lanning over Ryan Day. I mean, I'm not an idiot. I dispute Dylan. Wow. I see how it is. I dispute Dylan Gabriel over Will Howard. Will Howard, earlier in the season, probably going into that Oregon game, I would rattle off his stats in the Big 12 last year. Like he went to Missouri and shined. He went to Texas and shined. He has been in these spots. Yes, this season he made two mistakes. One of them, he slid half a second too late at Oregon. Otherwise, Ohio State probably wins that game. And the other mistake he made was an egregious pick six against Michigan. Well, that was an entire roster failure against Michigan. Otherwise, Will Howard's career has been as a player who shows up in these moments.
He also made an egregious pick six against Penn State, but James Franklin out Ryan Day'd Ryan Day in that game and gave him a big old hand in helping that one out.
I'm going to stick with Will Howard. And the other thought about this game, now on Monday, I took Ohio State back 2.5. So you and I are going head to head here. And I like my chance. As soon as that's the case, I'm feeling cocky because we know what his deal is. When I look at Ohio State's defense, realize opponents run against Ohio State 6.8% more often than you would expect by an average team in a given game state. That is the fifth highest rate in the country, going by Parker's numbers. Why do teams run so often against a rush defense that ranks number three in EPA? Because you should not throw the ball against Ohio State. If you throw the ball against Ohio State, you are in trouble. Well, Oregon leans on the throw. Oregon's offense is dictated. Yes, it's a system throw where the average just as a target might as well be 1 yard, but Oregon leans on the throw, and that's going to be – that's the matchup to watch in this game. Can Dylan Gabriel have his rhythm all game long, or will that Ohio State defensive line cause problems, or will that experienced secondary led by star safety Caleb Downs get in his passing lanes?
Jordan James, 23 carries for 115 yards in that last game against Ohio State. And they know that's what you have to do. If they can't slow down James, they're going to have a real tough time slowing down Dylan Gabriel. Like, if they can't stop that run like they could before, the Ducks are going to have a chance to win this football game. So I think that's going to be in my favor at the end of the day.
Well, of course you think that, but the beauty of New Year's Day is we're going to have that game where we have these two quarterbacks going head-to-head, and then we pivot to the Sugar Bowl, which might as well be played in 1924. Notre Dame versus Georgia. Georgia, a 1.5 or 2-point favorite. On Monday, there were 2.5s available, so it has ticked just a little bit toward Notre Dame, which, I mean, let's go ahead and note, this bowl season, twos have mattered with all of these multiple overtime games. That – I'm not saying this game's going to go to three overtimes, but boy, that'd be a fun and stressful New Year's Day. This game, total of 44 or 45.5, 10 points lower than that Rose Bowl. Both of these games are going to be stellar. I'm really looking forward. Let's say, hypothetically, Penn State blows out Boise State. Texas blows out Arizona State. All these critics, wow, six playoff games, six blowouts. And then 6 hours later, they're going to be over their heels in love with college football.
Of course they are, because this game is going to be absolutely bonkers. Like, I can't wait for this one. Even though Georgia doesn't have its starting quarterback, it's still a game loaded with talent. This is going to be like one of those throwbacks to like those SEC playoff games, or not playoff games, or the old Alabama LSU championship, which ended like 22-10 or something like that, or whatever it was, or
not saying the 9-6 classic, because as we established at the start of the show, college football is better entertainment than your NFL 6-3 debacles.
But this is going to be more relevant to those, and not because they can't do it, because these defenses are so great and so full of elite talent. At
all. When college football has a 9-6 result, it's because of truly stellar defenses. When the NFL has a 6-3 result, it's because their offenses couldn't score in Division III
football. Embarrassing, yes. Exactly. This is going to be a really, really great matchup. Notre Dame, 8th in success rate. Georgia ended 31st in success rate, but we kind of think that they're better than that number considering some of the players they have over there, starting with Malachi Starks in that secondary. I'm just really, really excited for this game. But I think the loss of Carson Beck is being undervalued in this spot, and I'm going to jump on Notre Dame on the money line here. That's what we're doing. I see a rogue plus 110 over at Caesars, mostly plus 105 all over the place, but I'm seeing plus 110 over at Caesars. So let's jump on that right now. I think Gunnar Stockton making his first career college football start against this defense is a problem. I think this defensive line for the Irish is underrated. I think the secondary is so good, and Georgia doesn't have those playmakers. No Brock Bowers, no Ladd McConkeys. I think Trevor Etienne's going to be banged up if he does play this game. Those skill positions are not what they were when Georgia was dominant in years past. And now you're asking a guy, Gunnar Stockton, to kind of just sit there. They obviously just want him to not turn over the ball. He's going to be in there to not lose the football game.
Right.
That's going to be his 100% his job. But guess what? Notre Dame is going to force his hand. That's what they're going to do in this one. I think they're going to be successful running the football here. It's going to be a hard nosed slobber knocker of a game, but I just think that they have an edge when it comes to quarterback and Riley Leonard. He's not a great thrower of the football, despite the fact that he can make some really nice dimes. We saw him throw some really nice dimes against Indiana late there, especially those downfield throws. His dual threat ability will be a problem for Georgia here. And it's just, he is going to be, him versus Gunnar Stockton is not fair in this one when these defenses, I think, are pretty even when all is said and done. So I just, it's got to be Notre Dame. It's got to be, I like the plus money. So give me the Irish. And Marcus Freeman goes from a couple of years ago being whether or not this is the guy for the right, we made the right guy for the job, to all of a sudden in the college football playoff semifinal.
A couple of years ago, shoot, September, week two after that loss September. In Northern Illinois.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
I look at this, and on Monday, I took the Georgia team total under 22.5. That number has not moved, which I'm astonished by. It's available right now at Neg 110 at FanDuel. I am adding to this game with a Jeremiah Love anytime touchdown, plus 105 at FanDuel. Now, first of all, everywhere else I look, this is negative money. Second of all, I considered that Ashton Jeanty anytime touchdown earlier. That was neg 200. Jeremiah Love is just as consistent in scoring as Ashton Jeanty. He scored in every game this season. He is arguably the one player on Notre Dame's roster who, you put him in space, he's going to outrun Georgia's defense. If this game is tight in the third quarter, Notre Dame's goal is not going to be to mount a 12-play drive. Notre Dame's goal is to get Jeremiah Love on the outside and see if he can break one, whether it's for 20 yards or 40 yards and a touchdown. That's going to become the hope. Available plus 105. Again, he scored in every game this season, 13 straight. A Notre Dame record, mind you. He is the most reliable threat on this team. So to get him at plus money stands out to me. And maybe we are delighted. And this is, he's the only touchdown, because the defenses in this are going to be relentless. Al Golden, yeah, is, you mentioned Gunnar Stockton versus Riley Leonard. To me, it's Gunnar Stockton against Al Golden trying to scheme up just messes for him. He's got a veteran defense led by Xavier Watts, an All-American safety, who's an absolute ball hawk, and Jack Kaiser, a sixth-year, at least a fifth-year middle linebacker who is also a ball hawk, always finds his way to tackles. They are going to make Gunnar Stockton's life difficult in one way or another.
Oh, yeah, and just like the I mentioned the secondary, right? Like, they're so good that he's just going to send so many crazy schemes, so many different looks at a guy who is like, Kirby Smart can sit there and be like, oh, this extra prep is, he's going to be so prepared for this game. He can say that all he wants until you get out there on that college football field going up against a guy who's been prepping for you all for 10 days or 12 days or whatever it is. It's going to be a different situation. And like I said, give the edge to Riley Leonard. I don't hate him to score an anytime touchdown in this one either. You can get that at plus 120. That's not an official play for me yet, but I will be looking at that very closely.
Plus 145 at FanDuel.
There you go. Plus 145 at FanDuel. That's why you shop around. This is going to be a fun one. But I really think that this is the Irish's time to make that step and show everybody that they're a true contender. That's why, once again, I was so upset by this narrative-driven BS that was being spewed by like so many people after the first round, when I think the biggest takeaway that everyone should have been talking about, that this Irish team is a really, really good football team. And that has been what's been overlooked here the most after the first round.
The quarterfinals will reveal that, or obviously the vice versa. It will be curious to see how these semifinals set up. Let's say you get a couple bets wrong and chalk holds, and it's Penn State and against Georgia, and it's Ohio State against Texas. Those are going to be games within a field goal that we have 10 days to hype. It's going to get very exciting, which is why I should note, we will next record on the Friday after the quarterfinals, a week from today, January 3rd. That will feature our quarterfinals reactions as well as our semifinal bets. I already know I will be itching to record that as soon as I finish my quarterfinals reaction column on Thursday morning.
If we get a semifinals of Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia, like, who hates that? Like, after all, we're complaining about these first round matches, but if that's the final four we get, obviously, like, some people can be like him and Ha, but like, oh, Oregon had a bad path and they deserve to be a little further, maybe, or you'd be happy to see Notre Dame there. But those four teams, you're not going to be upset. Obviously, the people broadcasting those games are not going to be upset about having those four teams in the semifinals. It's it's going to be almost a great situation no matter what. And guess what? If that's not what you have, what? Then do we have like an Arizona State team that pulled a great upset and now we have a Cinderella situation that then all of a sudden we're like, oh, this is – I will love to hear them say – them to flip their scripts and be like, isn't it great for college football that we have an underdog like this in the semifinals? Like, it's gonna be hilarious. But I don't know if that'll happen, and obviously the odds are long for that to happen, but if it does, like, I'm here for it.
I know you are, as am I, and we are here for it because we are College Football 134. We believe in all aspects of this level of college football. Speaking of which, since we recorded on Monday, I lost San Jose State neg 4.5 on Christmas Eve. I maintained that was the right side, but fumbling out of the end zone will do that to you. Today, while we recorded, you cashed Oklahoma Navy under 43.5. That might not have been the right side, but you got that home thanks to Brett Venables.
We'll take it. And as we record here, we're still waiting on the kick. I've got Syracuse minus 11 on my card, but that's now minus 18. That's why you listen to College 134 early, because those line moves happen. That's one of the craziest ones we've had all year. I think the U.S. I'm on Texas A&M in the Las Vegas Bowl tonight as well, minus 3.5. That did move to 4, but now I think it's back down to 3. So still around that number, but I'd still take Texas A&M at the 3. That wouldn't scare me off so much. I'm fading a big fade of Lincoln Riley in this matchup here.
I have Texas Tech tonight. I put that up at neg 105, and that's now about neg 140 or so. So that should tell you that sometimes there is this value. Tomorrow I have Boston College plus 145 against Nebraska. That is ticked up to plus 155 or so. Not a huge move, but I will note that. Lines have come our way on some of these. Let's offer up one or two more before we get out of here to thoroughly embrace bowl season. Now, we realize some of these bowl games, I think you're discussing one that's tomorrow. But how can you not love these? I mean, look at the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice. Look at this field. How can you not appreciate this? Just go ahead and loudly and proudly tell me you don't enjoy college football while you're at it.
Anybody who doesn't love this does not love the greatest football game on the earth, which is college football. This is great. Give me all the Snoop Dogg in the Arizona Bowl. I love it. I also love East Carolina going up against North Carolina State in the Military Bowl. And I've got a best bet for this. I'm very close to taking the over in this game as well. We have a much noted hate of North Carolina State on this pod. I don't know if it's hate, but a joyful fade of the Wolfpack and their situation moving forward. What I really like here is East Carolina quarterback Caden Hauser to go for 275 plus passing yards in this matchup against the Wolfpack. It hasn't been a great season for the Wolfpack. We have noted that time and again. And I really like this situation for Hauser. He's really turned around this Pirates offense since taking over the starting job against Army. Since then, he's thrown for 1,725 yards with 18 touchdowns, a bit of a gunslinger, 8 interceptions as well. But he's got a 63.2% completion percentage, which isn't bad. And he's averaging, I believe, 287.5 passing yards per game. The number in this one for his passing yards is 234.5, but I wanted to get a little spicy and take 275.5. He's gone over that number in 4 of his 6 matchups this season as the starter. And North Carolina State's defense, not great against the pass. 87th in success rate on dropbacks, 59th in EPA per dropback. So they're there to be gotten for Hauser. And I think this is a situation where the Wolfpack are going to be a little down. They're not going to be super motivated to be in the Military Bowl, I don't think. Whereas East Carolina is going to be like, hey, let's take it to to a state rival here and just have some fun with it and let Hauser let it fly. And I really like this plus money in this matchup.
There is definitely an us against the world mentality afoot for East Carolina, given the in-state rivalry, given they fired their head coach and then found bowl eligibility. This team coalesced and they're putting it together. That I like your thought there. To add one more bowl play today, I am going to – Parker got into this on Monday. It was already something I bet personally. I set that on Monday. I'm now going to make it an official show bet. taking Iowa in the Music City Bowl on December 30th. Moneyline plus 130 against Missouri. Frankly, Iowa's defense should muck this up beyond recognition because, you know, Iowa, even without any roster attrition, Iowa's defense would be the best unit on the field. Both Missouri losing star receiver Luther Burden, it's starting center to injury, another receiver to injury, as well as tight end Brett Norfleet. That side of the ball should become a mismatch. This could be a game decided on the margins. I will always side with the bowl game underdog in a game decided by margins, but especially when it's a team like Iowa that is built to live on the margins. This is the entire Kirk Ferentz model. So I will gladly take that at plus money to pretty much cap my bowl season before the playoff kicks into its highest gear.
Yeah, that's I'm not going to officially join you on this one just to save us. I know we've broken the curse here, but I'm not good. I'll keep it away, and maybe something else to look at in that same sense would be Missouri under its team total of 20.5. That's close to even money over at FanDuel. Like, all of those guys out, like, it's going to be a mess. Like you said, they're going to muck it all up.
And I think Parker's description on Monday was that coaching staff is already trying to win the offseason. They're not trying to win this bowl game. And that's, it's an intangible on some of its vibes, but it's often the case. Are you more focused on transfer portal and recruiting and coaching staff turnover, or are you focused on winning this bowl game? It is something to keep in mind in all of these non-playoff bowl games. Andrew, I think that covers it for us today. A quicker show because we are so playoff focused. Do you want to recap all of your pending bets? I'll do the same and we'll get the heck out of here.
Yeah, Texas A&M -3.5 in the Las Vegas Bowl. That's tonight. Also, Syracuse -11. That's about to kick off, so nobody's probably going to jump on this by the time that airs. But today we're adding Drew Aller over 224.5 passing yards. Sam Leavitt over 1.5 touchdown passes. That's nice, big plus money. Texas Arizona State under 26.5 in the first half. I'm on the Oregon money line, the Notre Dame money line, and Caden Hauser 275 plus passing yards at plus 220 over at Bet365.
Our week kind of split into I loaded up on bets on Monday and you loaded up on bets today. From Monday, I have Boise State plus 11. I have Texas by a full 2 touchdowns. I have Ohio State in the College Football 134 grudge match of the year. Ohio State by 2.5. And I have the Georgia team total under 22.5, as well as this coming Saturday, I've got the Boston College money line and the Pinstripe Bowl against Nebraska. Today, I added Ashton Jeanty over 130.5 rushing yards, -114 in FanDuel. Today, I added Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love, anytime touchdown. First time all year, it's been plus money, plus 105 at FanDuel. And today, I added the Iowa money line in the Music City Bowl on December 30th. Andrew, we will next record on January 3rd. Maybe by then, I will have my voice all the way back, cross our fingers. We will enjoy every moment of this playoff, unlike the blowhards who insist we're lunatics and we don't understand sports. That is Andrew Cayley at @covers_Cayley. I am Douglas Farmer, @_Farmer. We will see you in the new year with a playoff semifinal preview.